It's Wednesday, so that means it's time to answer some awesome listener questions. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that's our great friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go WDW. Days2Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance out of my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see on this first day of March that we're down to just 125 days to go till we head down for the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 4.0. Little time at Walt Disney World on the front and back end, and just having a great time with friends. And I can tell you, Mallory asks me every day, how many days do we have left to go, Dad? Let me see your phone. And we get excited every time we glance down. Anytime I get a text, a phone call, post to social media, I can see how many days I have left. And the best part is I can customize the app with my favorite colors, fonts, and even my own pictures. Make your Apple device a Disney device right now and get excited for the next trip because we know you have one coming up. Check them out today over at VirtualMickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1139 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, and it is March. Can you believe it? March Madness right upon us. We are glad to be through with January and February. Spring is right around the corner. And of course, you know what March means? More of your listener questions. That's right. You knew it. You're saying it right there along in your car. I know how that works. So today we're going to be doing just that and joining me to answer some awesome listener questions. We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
And I'm hoping that it's going to continue, that the weather goes in like a lamb and goes out like a lamb. I know that's not the saying, but, I'm hoping that that's how it's going to be. Because it's really nice here. So, yay. Keep going in like a lamb and go out like a lamb, too. That'd be great.
You know what, though? I mean, I have to say this, Libby. I think it's, Ricky, you grew up in the Midwest, too, in Florissant here. But, there's something about, I don't mean by getting hurt, but I'm a storm chaser. Like, I like knowing that there's like the imminent
rest
threat of a
peace,
tornado.
Rest in peace, Bill Paxton. Rest in peace.
Exactly. Right? I know. I'm serious. I heard that. I was like, it's so weird when like some actors pass away and it's like, I was like, no way. We're coming out of church and I heard that. I was like, and I mean, like, I didn't know I was that big of a fan of Bill Paxton until I heard he passed. I'm like, oh, that hurts.
I know. I have been like a huge fan of Twister. Like that is a movie that me and my brother, for some inexplicable reason, we just loved that movie growing up and watched it all the time. And, I don't know. We were both weird. But anyway, because of that, we love Bill Paxton in that movie. So like, I was like, nah. So of course we were sad when, Twister Ride It Out left, Universal, but you hear all the stories about all the history behind that attraction and you're like, nah. So it was kind of interesting when I saw the tweet from Helen Hunt, giving her well wishes, which I thought was very nice of her to do, because if you know the history behind that attraction, they really couldn't stand each other. So, and that's why they were on two separate screens, because they couldn't stand each other that much. They could not be on the same screen. So, So I thought that was, that was very, very nice of her to do. But I was just like you. Brian was running a marathon this weekend and on Sunday, and I was sitting outside waiting for him to run past, and I saw that, and I was like, nuh-uh. So, yeah, I was totally surprised, too. So.
Yeah, it's something when you grow up in, Missouri, Tornado Alley, it's kind of expanded.
Absolutely.
The last 10 years. You just get, you have a, not a fondness for tornadoes, but it's a part of the culture, so.
It is definitely a part of the culture, 100%, yes.
All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's going on this fine Wednesday, Pam?
It's Wednesday. I'm happy that it's Wednesday. I need I've been saying this a lot this winter, but like this week I need a weekend. I'm just saying, like, I'm like looking right to Friday and I'm ready for it. So anyways, and yes, if you visited Universal Studios and saw the Twister attraction a lot, whenever I heard that he had passed, the lines from that attraction were like running through my mind.
Yes.
like, I'm Bill Paxton. Plus Apollo 13. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the line that ran through my mind. Ricky, I'm Bill Paxton and Jason Storms. And, I mean, seriously,
it's hard. I mean, you can't laugh about it, but no, I know what you mean.
But that's exactly what I heard. So, anyways, miss him for a lot of reasons. He was a great, great.
I forgot he was in Titanic. Everybody was like, "Oh yeah, Titanic," and I'm like, "Who was he in Titanic?" And then I saw like a thing in you know, a memorial thing, and I was like, "Oh right, he's the guy who interviewed Rose." Okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay. Old Rose.
He's
got
Jack,
it.
Right?
Got
he's
it.
Jack, isn't he? Huh? I'm just, no, just kidding.
No,
I'm just
not Jack.
I have seen Titanic like 50 times. I do like that movie. Weirdly enough, I think Titanic sparked the reemergence of cruising, which is kind of scary. But I think it had something to do with the popularity of cruising coming up. Because it was like opulent. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, looked like an adventure. Anyway, we got to answer questions. Forget about all this stuff.
We are off on a really...
You know, and two, we're recording live on Facebook as we do every Monday night around 6:30 Eastern. And I saw on Twitter just about an hour ago that Reed Timmer has come into St. Louis. Now that, you know, talking about storm chasers, that makes me a little nervous. So if all of a sudden we're not here... You know, I'm kind of, I've Dorothy'd it, so I'm up in the clouds. You don't see Reed Timmer or Jim Cantore. But anyway, it's in the Weather Group podcast. Jamie has our first question. Let's get to it. I know it's taking too long. Jamie says, "Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, I'm heading off to Disney for my 30th birthday in September with my fiance. We've decided not to use the dining plan this trip, which we usually always have, to give us a little more flexibility in our eating choices. We want to go to more restaurants to try various food offerings that we don't usually get on the meal plan since we won't be locked into having to pick an entree and a dessert. I'm wondering if you guys can give me some pointers. Pam, I know you're a lounge professional on how to go about this." I don't know what that means, but let's go. Put that on your above the door there. Anyway, so or the office. "I'm so used to making ADR. Specifically, are we allowed to just go up and sit at the bar for California Grill if there's room without a reservation? I know you usually have to check in and get brought up. Is it rude to make an ADR and just get an appetizer and dessert to share? Thanks so much for the tri-weekly entertainment. Also, I was fortunate to run into Mike and Pam in Epcot after the marathon. What a treat. And after the completely inspiring weekend, I've registered for the 2018 marathon. Go Lizards." And shout out to Deb Chambers, who I absolutely adore as my travel agent. Thanks again, Jamie. Rock on, Deb Chambers. She's pretty good at it. I can tell you that. She's probably the best, but can't complain there.
So, I
think she's booked a trip or two in her day. Anyway, so let's talk about you're a lounge professional, Pam. I had to get it from the email. So help Jamie out. What about you know, just kind of scooching up to the bar and also making ADRs and just having an appetizer and dessert?
Well, first, if you're going to be a professional at anything, I think a lounge professional would be pretty dang good, right?
I
mean,
cool.
I'm just saying. So, yes, I am a lounge professional. So there's a lot of lounges that you can just roll up and not worry about, you know, being able to enter because they'll just let you sit there. Most of the signature restaurants do have a lounge that, you know, being able to eat there is really dependent upon the space that they have in the restaurant. So keep that in mind. Some of them are more popular than others. But then there's a lot of locations that you can just roll up to. In fact, Mike, last time we were there together, you ate at one of my favorites, and it's Cruise Cups.
Yes.
Cruise Cup. And it's good. We did have a little bit of slow service there, but it was kind of in the middle of the day. And so, I don't know, things were a little lackadaisical there. But anyways, the food's good. Lots of good places to go. And you asked specifically about California Grill. Yeah, you can go up there without a reservation. It really is dependent upon how many people are there, but there's a lounge area there where you can order. You can actually order from the full menu there. There are some seats that overlook the Magic Kingdom that are right there at the glass. So you may be lucky and get one of those. If not, you can go out onto the overlook that's available for everyone there. But yep, you can go into there. So it's awesome.
All right. You heard from the professional herself right there. So I can't get better
than
that. All right. Next question comes from my buddy Mark Kemp. He's a Missourian over on the other side of the state in Blue Springs. Drives to Pittsburgh, Kansas each week for work. I enjoy seeing all his adventures on Twitter. And he says, "Hello, BOGP team. Let's say I have a couple of really old resort mugs. You know, the ones that were refillable forever with no notice that mugs were only refillable for the length of your stay. Will Disney still honor these mugs? If so, how? Obviously, they will not work at drink stations without the proper data from the embedded chip. Now, if they will indeed honor my Port Orleans mugs, then how about my Dixie Landings mugs, since there is no longer a resort by that name? Just curious, Mark. All right, Ricky, you take this one, because resort mugs can get people in trouble.
Yes, they can. And unfortunately, there really is no way to utilize the soda fountains any longer at the Disney resorts without having one of the new chip mugs. They actually have it set up so that the soda fountain will not even respond without a chip in it. And that includes not only the refillable mugs, but also the paper cups and things like that, that, you know, you buy from the food courts and stuff. So it will not work. So I'm sorry to tell you that you're pretty much out of luck, no matter what age mug you have, you're out of luck. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I would do is put the Dixie Landings mug up on eBay, and you'll probably get $50 for it, and that'll buy you, you know, a couple length of stays worth of soda, I would say.
There you go.
I mean, that's right. I mean, you won't have your mug anymore, but you know, it's sacrifice, I guess. All right, next question comes from Scott. Love the podcast. We're looking ahead to a week trip early next year. In 2016, we accidentally planned at the same time as the marathon weekend, and while it was neat to see all the runners, it had an impact on crowd size that we would like to avoid. The only issue is my sister would like to run the princess half. If we got there on Friday or Saturday, watched her run on Sunday, and stayed until the following Friday, would crowd sizes be much better than when we were there in the days leading up to and including marathon weekend? And I am searching, but what is the total number of runners between the two weekends? I assume Princess has fewer participants. Thanks, Scott. All right, Ricky, do you want to tackle this one? I can tell you the marathon's the big one. So you were there during mm-hmm. the biggest running event of the year. Princess is probably, I would say, 60% the size of marathon. If I had to guess off the top of my, I mean, because it's only a 5, a 10 and a half. It's not a full. So it's only 3 days compared to four. And it's one of the smaller events. I guess marathon's probably the biggest. I would say Wine and Dine's probably the second, and then you probably have Dark Side and Princess probably close in, but I'd say it's about 60 to 65% of the crowd of marathon. But Ricky, what do you think about the plan to go there Friday and Saturday, watch the his sister run on Sunday, then stay through the next Friday? Is that a good plan?
So I think it's not so bad. The crowds will be a little bigger during that weekend. So just keep that in mind because of the half marathon. I think that the rest of the week, as people start heading back to, you know, work and stuff like that, I think that that will slow down a little bit. And it's right before, you know, you're hitting that time before people start getting spring break. So I think you should be fine there. So I think it will be heaviest on that weekend. And then, you know, probably still heavy Monday, maybe Tuesday a little bit. But then as you keep creeping towards that the Friday that they would leave, the parks would be much more manageable.
Yeah, I can tell you most runners for Princess, and I've, you know, there's of course there's exceptions, people that are using this for their yearly vacation and so forth, but most runners are going to get there on Thursday to get there for the expo, mm-hmm. pick up their bibs, do some shopping and stuff like that, be ready because they might be doing the challenges, you know, 5, 10 and a half. So they'll, you know, probably be racing either Friday, Saturday or Sunday or all the days. A lot of runners tend to stay the next day after the race to go around to the parks and get their pictures with their medals and just kind of celebrate the run. But then I think a lot of people do kind of catch that last flight out on Monday night or early Tuesday mm-hmm. morning. So I think, you know, once you hit Tuesday, you're going to be really, really in a good shape. And it is kind of exciting, though, to see all the runners going around the parks with their bling. You know, I'm a runner, so I like to see it, you know, not just to run and participate. But I think it's fun seeing how excited people are with those medals because they've worked hard for them. And it's neat to see them, you know, getting pictures in front of the castle, in front of the partner statue and so forth. So, Pam, real quick, what do you think about this thought of, you know, kind of going, you know, during the race weekend, but planning kind of the big experiences the week after the race weekend?
I think it's really a toss up because I really think that crowd, you know, you get people coming in early and you get people staying afterwards. I think one of the things that impacts the crowds in a good way is that runners go to bed early in the days preceding, you know, leading up to those races. So at least some runners do anyway. So I think that that makes the crowds a little less thick in the evenings before the bigger races, at least. And something else to think about is it's really weird how the crowd kind of ebb and flows. There are runners who are like, you know, wherever the race finishes, that's where they're staying through the day. Then there are others that are like, no matter where I finish, I need to go to the Magic Kingdom to make sure. I don't think that Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, the attendance mm-hmm. there is nearly as impacted as Epcot and Magic Kingdom are. So
I would agree with that.
That might help a little bit to keep that in mind, too.
Yeah, Caitlin's in our Facebook Live chat, and she asked a question about, you know, trying to book for Princess 2018, which we'll hit on here probably during the show. But she's saying in the Facebook chat that she was not under the impression that Princess was smaller than Wine and Dine. Now, I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about the races, and I haven't done Princess, but I've seen a lot of pictures, you know, and I know a lot of folks, and congratulations, by the way, to all the runners, man. We brought home a lot of lizard bling this past weekend. And
yeah,
you know,
we did.
Who cares about the bling? We had a lot of people just having a good time and supporting each other. I saw lots of pictures. I mean, everybody was smiling. It was just so awesome to see. And, you know, some people, you know, might not have gotten exactly what they were hoping for out on that course, but I'm so proud of each and every one of our runners because people got further than they even thought they would. So you know mm-hmm. what, proud of you guys, proud to call you teammates. A good job. And Dark Side I guess is next. Is there a Disney?
Yeah,
it's not a Disneyland race. Yeah, yeah. So you know,
Dark
you're
Side
up next.
And then Tinkerbell I think is,
yeah,
Disneyland
Day. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, but Caitlin was saying that, you know, about Wine and Dine, I think with Wine and Dine the thing you got to watch is that the resort is just packed because you have the Food and Wine Festival going on, which is super popular. Sometimes it falls on Jersey Week. And when it falls, did it fall like on Veterans Weekend this past year?
Yeah.
It was around.
Yeah, I think it did.
Oh, man. Was it crowded last year? I mean, like Epcot was it. Yeah. It was like New Year's Eve that one night. It was nuts. So, yeah, Princess, you're going to have much smaller crowds, I would say. All right. Cliff's got the next question. Hi, gang. We'll be staying at three different resorts during our next trip. Is it possible for the resorts to bring our luggage to the next resort? Or do we have to carry our luggage until check-in times? How easy or complicated is it to resort hop? Thanks again and keep up the great work. Yours in teaching, Clifford. All right, Pam, you're not only a professional lounge lizard or whatever it was called in the first email. You're also a professional resort hopper. So give Cliff some advice.
I am. I hope one day all this useless knowledge is put helps me out in my life some way. No, I'm just kidding. So, if you're staying at a Disney resort and you're transferring to a Disney resort, then absolutely Disney will assist with this process. And I just want to point out that while Swan and Dolphin may be on Disney property, typically Disney does not assist with the transfer to or from the Swan and Dolphin. And of course, any of the Good Neighbor hotels would not qualify for this as well. So just in case, because sometimes we get questions from folks that are like, well, I'm staying at the Best Western in Disney Springs. Isn't that on property? Yeah. And it actually is not considered to be an on-site Disney resort. So anyways, on the morning that you're going to check out, you'll just go ahead and call Bell Services, let them know that you will be transferring to another Disney resort. They will, depending on which resort you're going from and to, they will either come to your room or you can go ahead and take your luggage down to Bell Services and arrange for that transfer. You're going to want to keep out anything that you can't be with for any length of time. So medications and other things like that, you're going to want to make sure you have, like really important blankies of like the kids, you know, stuff like that. You're going to want to keep
out. Or Steve's really important blankie, don't lie. Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. He likes the kind with the silky edge. So anyway.
Yeah, me too. I like that. That's cool. It's like my old sleep electric blanket when I was a kid.
No, so anyway, stuff like that. Make sure you hold on to this. The process can take a while because what they do is, you know, they keep them kind of in a holding area until a certain time. So don't expect this to be a quick process. If you want it to be a quick process, you know what I would suggest? Uber. Yeah, because it's easy and it's inexpensive and you know your luggage is at the next spot. And that might be what I choose to do either way. But it is a service that Disney does offer. So take your pick there. Do what works for you.
All right. So real quick, before the next question, we got to send a shout out. And I got this great message on Facebook last night from our buddy. He's an 8-year-old listener up in Buffalo. Gianni. And I sent this message to Pam and Ricky as well. His mom, Sarah, sent me a message saying that, you know, he loves to fall asleep to listen to the podcast almost every night, which is, you know, I guess we have that, you know, that effect on people. We can put you to sleep. You know, we're just like a bottle of NyQuil. So if you're ever, you know, having trouble sleeping, just put on, you know, the latest episode and we'll take care of you there. But what we found out was that he went over to, I believe, his like grandma's house or something. He was, you know, being watched during the day, and he figured out on his iPad how to get the Be Our Guest podcast during the day to listen to it. So we encourage all 8-year-olds to be able to hack electronics to be able to listen to the show.
That's right, Gianni. And maybe one day you'll be teaching your parents and grandparents how to do these things too.
That's right. We'll have to have him on the awesome show. That is awesome. So he actually, yes, his mom's in the Facebook Live right now. So we want to send a shout out. So thanks for listening, buddy. We really appreciate it.
I love it.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Yay, Gianni.
That's so Gianni. Awesome. I love that.
What's up, buddy?
So his mom has a question though, because they're getting ready to go down to Walt Disney World in less than 30 days. And she has a question about Marrakesh and Beer Garden. Now, Gianni's an 8-year-old boy, and she's wondering, like, what do we think? How do we think those two restaurants would go over for a kid? I've never eaten at Marrakesh. I've eaten at Beer Garden, and I think Beer Garden is awesome because it's a buffet. There's some kind of normal, like, regular stuff. There's some more exotic stuff. There's great desserts. Lots of breads. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can get kind of exotic. You can kind of be real safe with, you know, normal type stuff. But you have the entertainment of the Oompa band down there, which I think everybody enjoys. And it's very themed in there and very loud. So even if your kid's loud, you're good to go. But Pam, have you been to Marrakesh? What do you think about Marrakesh for a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I think that all the Disney resorts, especially those that serve more exotic foods, if you're looking for something less exotic, they'll have that available. Even if it's not on the menu, sometimes you can ask and they'll have that. But Marrakesh also has some items that I think that kids would like too. I think it's just I don't think that there's any restaurant that I wouldn't, you know, take a child to, especially at Disney World. There's some entertainment there too. There's some belly dancing. It's a very PG belly dancing, though, don't you think? I mean, it's not.
That's for the dads.
Well, I think everyone enjoys a good belly dance every now and then, and they do often pull up some kids from the audience. So, I know some stuff like that too. So maybe Gianni can be the star of the show. Just saying. But anyways. They have, you know, on the menu, they have chicken tenders, hamburger, and they have Moroccan style pasta, which I'm really not sure what that is. So, it sounds like spaghetti and meatballs.
I would assume that would probably be the case. Yeah.
I'm not sure what makes it Moroccan style. But if you do have someone who is kind of open to trying new foods, then they may be able to make something special as well. So, I think both are good choices and both have entertainment.
That's it. And Jill says in the Facebook Live, you know, Beer Garden Entertainment's one of her favorites. And I agree. I mean, it's definitely a lot of fun. That band's actually pretty good. You know, you need a good polka once a year at least. That's what I always say.
Ticky-tacky.
Oi. I can't believe we're doing that. All right, next question. So here we go. It's from Emily in Ohio. It says, hi to my favorite podcasters. To the pregnant listener who was thinking about doing a gender reveal at Walt Disney World, I did it, and it was amazing. My husband and I were the only ones to know the gender. We were traveling with both our parents and siblings who didn't know we had found out the gender before we left for vacation. Before I left, I called Disney and ordered a special cake. We were having a girl, so I asked for it to be a layer cake and the inside frosting to be bright pink. The outside frosting was plain white, and on the top of the cake, I had them write prince or princess. I had the cake delivered to the restaurant we were eating at the first night, Cape May Cafe. They notated our reservation that we had a surprise cake that should come out after the meal. Once there, I also made sure to get to the restaurant before everyone else to double check our plan and talk with the server. It was perfect. The server came out, handed knives to the soon-to-be grandmas and said, I hear we will be welcoming a prince or princess soon. Shall we find out if you should buy Minnie or Mickey ears in preparation? The grandmas looked confused, but then quickly realized this was a surprise gender reveal. The server asked the tables around us to join in a countdown as they cut into the cake and saw the interior frosting color. 3, 2, 1, it's a girl. Our table burst into tears and everyone around us erupted in applause. Such an amazing memory. On a different note, our family loves going to Disney, but we also want to expose our kids to other destinations too. I'm just curious how you all balance going to Disney and going elsewhere on vacation. Thanks, Emily. All right, Ricky, so that's it. You know what? I mean, is this better or is really, you know, abducting Minnie, bringing her over to Town Square? Because I was trying to explain that to my wife. I was like, is this not a good plan? I was like, we won't ever get to go back. But I mean, it would be such a great story.
I mean, why not, right? I think that suggestion is much better. The cake with the frosting. Much better. Yes. So
that's very cool. I like that. It's a great idea because, you know, I think it's one of those things almost like, Ricky, when you got engaged, like you're going to have the memories and the pictures and all that. And
absolutely.
And, you know, you could, I don't know if they had like a cake topper or some kind of like memento that maybe each one of the grandmas could bring home, you know, the cake goes away. But, you know, maybe the knives, you know, maybe if they're, you know, like wedding, like where you, I don't know if you do that, but I mean, just something to remember that by. It's a bigger deal. I didn't know this was such a big deal, like the gender reveal. It's like,
oh, you have no idea. Okay, let's put it this way. Pinterest has really changed the whole like thing. Let me tell you, because you know, Pinterest came around after you had Mallory. Now you've got everybody trying to outdo the party, you know, of the, you've got the announcement party and then you've got the gender reveal party and then you've got the, you know, the holy baby cow. Showers and it's this whole thing. Let me tell you. So
I thought you did the like it's a girl, like when the baby comes out, okay, it's a girl, you know. Well, I mean, I know, you know, but I mean, not everybody knows.
Because then you got to, you got to do the announcement picture. You got to do something special for that. So then you got to do the gender reveal picture. You got to do something special for that.
All I'm seeing is like dollar signs. That's just crazy. That just adds more expense to the
kid. That's also part of it, but.
I'm glad this was after I have to.
Oh, me too. This is crazy.
Like, seriously. Oh my gosh. And all the crafting that people do.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of, hang on.
All these people.
What, breaking news for everybody going on Podcast Cruise 4. 125 days. Start making those fish extenders.
Oh my gosh. This is enough. I need to hire someone for the fish extender thing. I may be subcontracting this year. I'm just saying.
I just got a cold sweat. That's getting close. Oh, that's, man. That's it's like a sweatshop in here for 2 weeks before the cruise.
How many days?
125 from today. Yeah, it's crazy. Uh-huh. Can you believe it? Yeah, it's already March. We're going in July. Jeez. Anyway, I know. So anyway, okay. let's hit the second question, though, because Emily, I hate to say it, but we only go to like Mizzou football games. We're season ticket holders, so we go to Columbia, Missouri.
Oh my gosh.
We really don't go many other places. I mean, we should. I know, and a lot of people make a conscious effort to do that because you really should expose your family and your kids to other places like national parks and, you know, just maybe the real world. I don't know. Pam, how have you done that growing up?
Real world.
We try to vacation lots of different places just because I love to travel, always have loved to travel. And I think that one of the cool things about, you know, the job that I'm fortunate enough to have is that I can always find an excuse to travel. my problem is that Steve doesn't get quite as much vacation time as I could certainly, use in terms of traveling. Yeah. So that's what curtails me at this point, but we've been so many awesome locations. And I think what I try to do is at times, I try to gain some distance from the destinations I travel to a lot. And I know that some of you out there are like, what? But, you know, like we're going back in just a little bit here because there's some things I have to do in terms of get photos of and do some other stuff. And so really that trip will be, you know, concentrated on that. When we go back in May, we'll be doing all the new stuff like at Volcano Bay and at Animal Kingdom. And there's just so much to do in that space. But I think that those are the things, you know, that I try to do something different each time. And I try to not let my love of Disney and Universal mean that I don't go other places, because it's a great big world out there, folks, and there are so many awesome things to see. So you know, that's just something that I try to keep in mind. But I know it's hard if you have some place you like. And for me, I know, and there's probably a lot of you out there that feel this way, going on a Disney trip is easy, right? Just because you know it.
Point, yes.
You know where you're going to eat or where you'd like to eat. You don't have to worry about that, you know, all of that. But I think there's some fun too that in the unexplored. And I think that's what keeps us going different places.
Yeah, I think it's a great question to bring up. It's a great conversation to have because, like, personally, I remember during college, I took a road trip out to Yellowstone and spent a week out in Yellowstone National Park. I've also driven out to Yosemite in California and spent a week at Yosemite. And those places were like, they made you really reflect on how big and beautiful the natural world is. And, you know, like, you know, it's been there so long. You know, when you see buffalo going across the plains, you know, it takes you to that scene in Dances with Wolves, you know, and like, this was our country way before, you know, it was changed like it is now. It was just wild and just awesome. And so part of me really wants to take Mallory and Paige and, you know, load up the car and go out to Yellowstone, go out to Yosemite. But the problem, you know, and this is probably, and I shouldn't be like this, but I see like Mallory and Paige getting out there and being like, okay, we've seen buffalo, we've seen bear, you know, like we've seen a couple right. of moose. Because the thing is, like, the scope of like Yellowstone, for example, I mean, to go from one side of the park to the other is like 400 miles. It's like mm-hmm. as wide as Missouri. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not World Showcase. You know, you can't walk around the park. And so I think that since they don't have that perspective, maybe I'm selling them short. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they would really enjoy going out there hiking in Yosemite and, you know, seeing Half Dome and you know, Bridal Falls and stuff like that, because it changed me. You know, it really made me see the beauty of the natural world. Pam, what do you think about that? I mean, is that a valid concern? That, I mean, I'm so worried that, especially Mallory, like, she's so like, fast passes, let's do this, you know, because I've brought her up at Disney. Maybe I've created a monster. I don't know. You know, hope not. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I understand that you're wanting to think that way, but I think that kids often surprise you. I mean, you know, when we chatted with Hannah about places that she wanted to go, she actually did pick, you know, Yosemite. And there are just, I mean, just because we like to hike around here, and she knew that she would really enjoy in that location. So we've done stuff in California and she's had a blast, and we've been in different locations, you know, all over the country, and she's really enjoyed each one of them. I think that kids surprise you in that they find something that they really enjoy. And no matter where you travel to, I think, you know, it's funny. We've taken Hannah on cruises since she was little, and no matter where we went, she found something that she really enjoyed doing. So, you know, I think that most kids will. And if you're having a good time, chances are your kids will too. So,
all right, let's load up the car. Let's head out to Yellowstone. I loved Yellowstone. It was awesome.
Well, I'm gonna kind of piggyback on something Pam was just saying. You know, a lot of people are talking about, like Pam just said, cruising is a great way to get people, your kids or yourself, acclimated to other places, because then you can kind of get a taste of what that area has to offer. But you know, you're not totally stuck there either, you know? So like, if you didn't enjoy something right. in one port, then you could go to a different port the next day, and you aren't lost, you know, aren't losing something, like you were saying, Mike, of, oh, well now I'm in, you know, out here in the West and, my kids are bored. You know, I don't think that necessarily will happen, but at least you have the option of seeing something else. And then if you decide, hey, you know what, I really would like to go there again, then you can. For example, when I was a kid, my parents took us on a cruise, and I went to St. Lucia. And to me, that was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It's always stuck with me as one of the most beautiful places I'd ever been. And I want to go back there at some point, because as an adult, I'd actually see it for what it really is. So, you know, those places can stick with someone. So if you do the cruise thing, even if it's not Disney, you can still get a little bit of that taste. And then you can maybe go back in the future.
That's a good tip. That is definitely a good tip, because you have that, you know, with cruising, you have that basically thing that your accommodations are set. You know, you have your room, you don't have to worry about moving, but the ship moves every day. So you have a new adventure every morning when you wake up. So it's always fun.
Right.
All right, next question comes from Mario. It says, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, thanks for all you do. My family will be going to Walt Disney World for the first time next month. I've been planning for months, getting the dining reservations and fast passes, and using the touring plans to better manage our stay. for the Wishes and Once Upon a Time shows at the Magic Kingdom, where do you recommend we watch from, and are there any bad spots? For example, with the castle projection, can we be behind the castle, or will it not make as much sense for a first-time viewer? Thanks in advance, Mario. Well, Mario, thank you so much for listening to the show. And first time trip, I love hearing people going on the first time trips because everything is going to be amazing. I mean, jaw dropping amazing. So you're gonna have just a great time, Mario, just a few days now until you guys get down there. Pam, where would you suggest a first timer? Because I know it depends. I mean, if you're a first timer, you want to have the best seat in the house or the best chance to see exactly why you went there. So what would you say?
First timers, I'm watching from right in front of the castle. Well, back a little bit, but I mean, so that I can see the castle and the fireworks behind it, because I think that all the fireworks shows that Disney does at the Magic Kingdom really tell a story. And I think to best get that story, you want to see the front of the castles, the projections, the fireworks as they shoot from behind the castle and just make the perfect backdrop. And all that that entails, which means you do have to invest a little bit of time into it, depending on, you know, how many people are there that day. But with all of the expansion that they did of that hub area in the past year or two, it has really made seeing the fireworks, I think, a little easier, a little more comfortable. And you don't have to invest quite as much time in it. So that's where I would say.
Yeah, it's one of those things that construction that when it started to happen with the hub, you know, when they reimagined it and added basically like a third loop there around the outside, I thought, you know, why are they wasting their time on this? There's so many better things they could be spending money and manpower on. But now that it's been redone, it just makes that whole area in front of the castle so much better, not only during fireworks, but just throughout the day. You know, we've actually laid on that fake grass and had some ice cream from the plaza. And just, it's almost like sitting in a park, you know, I mean, on a nice spring day or nice fall day, you know, not probably in July, but, you know, it's a great improvement. So Ricky, this is Mario's first time. So I want to make sure that he gets a great experience. What could you throw that out there just to think about here on the few days before he heads down?
You know, I was kind of going to agree with Pam, first of all, on the fireworks. Definitely for the Magic Kingdom, you want to be out the front. That's, absolutely 100% where I would suggest being. As far as a first timer, you know, by listening to podcasts like this, you should have a lay of the land of a good idea. You know, really just know that, again, I can't stress it enough. You're not going to see everything. You will be going back. I can guarantee it. Just relax and have good quality family time. That's the biggest thing. It's so easy to get so wrapped up in the go, 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 because it's your first time and, you know, you're seeing this for the first time and you're running around for the first time and everything's new. And just make sure you stop and smell the roses. That's the biggest thing that I can say. Enjoy that family time because that's what it really is all about.
Good tip. And I would say one other thing, Mario, while you're there, especially at the Magic Kingdom, don't just go to the big headliners like your Pirates, your Space Mountain, your Splash Mountain. Like, don't be, you know, don't overlook things like the Tiki Room or the Carousel of Progress or Buzz Lightyear or the Astro Orbiter, things like that, you know, especially the Tomorrowland People Mover. But those things are really kind of the foundation upon which everything else is built. And I think that, you know, a lot of times people are just, you know, you hear the buzz about the big attractions. But I think a lot of times, especially kids, enjoy the little stuff. Like Mallory just loves Carousel of Progress and People Mover and Astro Orbiter. I mean, those are her favorite attractions. And myself, I'm kind of the same way. And you can see a lot of those in a day, even without ADRs. So have a good time.
You mean, fast passes?
What fast passes? Fast passes. What? All right, Emily's. Those things. Emily's got the next question. Hi, Mike and crew. I was able to convince my husband to do our first ever Run Disney event in November. It's going to be the 5K on Friday. We can only go Thursday to Saturday as we have our two toddlers at home with the grandparents. I booked the Contemporary, another first for us. What are your suggestions to maximize our time on a kid-free vacation? I was thinking about California Grill Thursday night, as most of that day we'll be traveling and getting over to ESPN. After our race, go to Epcot for food and wine, and Saturday, walk to the Magic Kingdom. Thank you. And she says, mommy of two, looking for some adult time, Emily. All right, Pam, so you know what? A monorail resort for Wine and Dine weekend is a great call, especially the Contemporary, because you make that switch over to the Epcot monorail to TTC and get over to Epcot rather easily. So they're going to run on Friday morning early. They're getting there Thursday. They're at the Contemporary. What kind of plans, what kind of things would you have them do with being able to take advantage of not having the two toddlers with them?
Oh, man. Adult time. There was just a question, actually, that came up in the Mouse for Less Facebook group this week that was like, do you feel guilty going to Walt Disney World without your kids? And it's like, no. No, I don't. But anyways, I would definitely plan some time to have some great leisurely meals that you feel like you just wouldn't have if the kids were with you. And I think any of the signature restaurants you choose will be a great choice. I will recommend, of course, Gico and California Grill, and of course the redesigned Flying Fish. But there are just so many, including Morimoto's Asia. We've had great meals at Homecoming, which is a kind of not a signature restaurant, but really just great solid food if that's the kind of thing you're looking for. I think another cool thing to do is to spend some time at Disney Springs. When you have the kids in tow, at times like the shopping is like frenetic.
Where'd that kid go?
I know. And I feel frenetic for the parents. Like, I hear the talking, like, don't ask me for one more thing. Like, I think I've heard that discussion go down a few times at Disney Springs. But I think that when it's just an adult only party, it's a little easier to tell your spouse, no, you can't have that or whatever. No, than it is your kids. No, it's just, I think, a lot of fun. And especially in the evening, they have so much entertainment now at Disney Springs. And I think it's sometimes things that kids don't want to stop and listen to, but adults could certainly enjoy. And if you wanted to, you know, for years, people have always talked about drinking around the world. I see no reason why you couldn't drink around Disney Springs if you so decided to do that.
But not on Thursday night. Do it after the race, Friday night or Saturday night.
Yes. Right.
We want to get you to the starting line.
Even the Starbucks at Disney Springs actually serves alcohol and appetizers after a certain point in the day.
The West Side one, not the one on the Marketplace. Want to specify? So
the big one.
The big one. Yes.
So, and it's a great place, but there are lots of good places to go to there. I mean, Jacques Lindsay's is another good place that you'll be able to stop and get drinks and appetizers. Morimoto's has a street food location. There's also the Shine Bar that's connected to Homecoming. So, I mean, there's lots of great choices, but I know that you'll have a great time.
Wait, Ricky, where'd you say that Starbucks was? Westside?
Oh my gosh.
Jeez. And I answered your question like you asked it for real.
That's it.
I did too.
That's for Hotchberg. Anyway. All right, let's get to the last
Hotch
question.
Hotch who?
I know.
Who?
Hotch who? Yeah. What? Who? What? Royal Caribbean? What? Anyway, Debbie Stevens has our last one. She's from the Lizard Lounge. It says, hi. I just listened to show 1118 where Jess was asking about doing challenge weekends, Tink, and then the Wine and Dine, even with scoliosis. Your advice was spot on, not to worry about speed, but simply follow the training plans listed on the Run Disney site. My response to Jess, I have a friend in her 60s who has scoliosis and just finished her third full marathon at Walt Disney World.
Wow.
She finished countless 5Ks, 10Ks, and half marathons. Her scoliosis has caused problems with her joints, and she has had to work with chiropractors and physical therapists to realign her legs and hips. Still, she keeps going and is an inspiration to all who know her. All that to say, Jess, you can do this. Just take things slowly and carefully and talk to your doctor if something doesn't feel right. And join the BOGP Lizards. It's the best running group out there. Lots of lizards face so many obstacles and challenges, yet inspire me every day with their determination and perseverance to train for these races. So, Jess, have a great time at Tink, and I hope to see you at Wine and Dine Race Weekend. You'll be passing me on the course, I'm sure. Debbie from the Lizard Lounge. You know what, Debbie? If you know Debbie on the Lizard, she picks us all up. She is amazing. I mean, we shared her story of getting a friend from the half to the full and doing even more than that after the race. And that is really what the Lizards, our running squad, is all about. But the Run Disney community in general, it's just about, it's very non-competitive. It's very non-threatening. It's just a matter of, you know, just taking your time and doing your best. You know, sometimes there's some of us that struggle. I mean, there's been races down at Walt Disney World that I've barely gotten to the finish line because I was having health issues last year. I was even having just all kinds of issues of dark side last year. Wine and Dine this year, I almost got wiped out. I wouldn't have finished if it wasn't for other friends. And, you know, it's just one of those things, just Debbie's spot on. Just listen to your body and don't worry about speed. Just kind of keep going and hanging in there. And I think that's really what it's all about. And again, Ricky, I know you've been monitoring the social media. We've seen that again this past weekend. Just, you know, friends getting each other to the finish line and really enjoying that, just the journey, not the race. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really what it's all about. You know, you did the training ahead of time. The race is really just the fun part about it, I guess, if you want to call it that, having done a half. But yeah, so I mean, it's so amazing how great the Lizards are for each other and how much they, you know, cheer each other on, whether they're there or not there, or, you know, in person or not in person, or whatever. It's just, it's crazy awesome how supportive that they are. So, you know, definitely, again, heed your doctor, but, you know, go out there and do it. You won't regret the accomplishment, I promise you.
I totally agree. So just have a good one in those challenge weekends. They're fun. Just go, who cares about speed on those weekends? Just get to,
exactly,
get to the start line. Just I always consider the race as the victory lap. You know, you've done the training. That's all the hard work. You know, it's just, it's mm-hmm. your victory lap. But sometimes it's a long victory lap, but it's a victory lap.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you that on Sunday. Anyway, so that's going to do it for today's questions. Keep sending those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those here right away. And of course, today's show is brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Ricky, what might you find on Theme Park News Disney Edition this week? What are we talking about?
Well, this week we are going back to the California Grill, and we are talking about their new dining experience that's being introduced called Celebration at the Top. What it is it's a complimentary, you guests get complimentary bar offerings and small plates. And then they will be able to go out onto the observation deck out there and see the fireworks in a private area. So there's the regular area, and then they have this private area that's off to the side that these guests will go to. And then once that's over, you get cordials and desserts, and reservations are available now. It's happening Sunday evenings until April 16th. And the cost is $99 per person plus tax and gratuity. So
it's not a bad rate.
It sounds
actually
like a lot of fun.
That, you know, yeah, considering what you get, that's really not a bad. And it's a great viewing area. It's awesome up there.
Absolutely. 100%. So it's a good option if you're looking for something different, unique, romantic, you know, kind of a good thing for adults to do. That would be a great idea.
That's so true. All right. So you check out these and other great stories. Again, you know, little snippets from all over the internet, both official and unofficial sites right there. Theme Park News Disney Edition. Pick up the free copy for your Apple device today over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram @BeOurGuestMike. And we're on Facebook, and you can get notifications when we go live and answer questions and so forth over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And I want to say a huge shout out to everybody who is supporting the podcast. When you purchase anything over on Amazon, we have gotten tremendous support over the past couple of weeks by everybody who is, you know, when you got to pick something up, you need some toilet paper, you need some batteries, you need a microphone for your podcast. Instead of just going straight to Amazon, drop by BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Purchase your order, you know, whatever you need, and then we get just a little bit of a kickback there from Amazon, and it really does help support the show and helps us pay for the bandwidth and the hosting and all that stuff. And thanks to everybody who has done that already, and if you wouldn't mind, give it a shot this week. It's no different, costs you nothing extra, and we really, really appreciate that. All right, well, it's time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday, as always, and we're going to be talking about Memory Maker and getting the most for your money when you purchase the Memory Maker package. All right, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
I think that was the same one.